Time for us to talk a little Boston sports and more as we get on the telephone line and welcome in Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Chad.
Hey, Rich. How are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you. Yeah, it is a brand new year and the end of a year for the New England Patriots. A good game yesterday. They played pretty well. Should fans feel good, though, about this season?
You know, it kind of just puts into perspective where they are right now, or you could feel pretty good about that game, particularly a lot of positives from the first half, probably the best half of football. Mac Jones has played all year, and they still lost by 12 points and didn't really have a lot of suspense there late in the game. You know, got kind of desperate there. Mac threw two of his three interceptions in the last 6 minutes when they'd fallen behind. So still a little bit of ways to go to be able to truly compete with the Bills, but it also could have been worse, as we've seen on several occasions this season. So not too bad way to wrap it up.
And I don't care what side you were cheering for. That opening kickoff just gave me chills. That was incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. I wish Tony Romo had somebody turned the mute button on his microphone when all that was going on. But it was just a remarkable moment, especially when they showed like Sean McDermott on the sideline, Josh Allen, just how happy the Bills players were, to the point of a couple of guys, Allen, one of them looked like they were near tears. You know, it's just, you think about it, it's a kickoff return in a football game. It really doesn't matter that much. But you think about, on the other side of that, the effect that it had and what it meant to somebody like Hamlin and the players who just 6 days before thought he might die on the field must have really felt like just an extraordinary moment to be in it and be part of it like they were.
Well, for the Patriots of the offseason, it comes with a whole lot of question marks, starting, well, I guess, with the roster. There'll be some departures, certainly. You have to think that this is the end for Matthew Slater and Devin McCourty. What a pair of great careers and guys who've been just great Patriots, the kind of people that you like to cheer for.
Yeah, there's those threads back to the heart of the dynasty with those two. I mean, they have six championships between them. They've been here 28 years. Just the principled, true leaders, guys who, you know, if you believe in the Patriot way, they're sort of the avatar for that, both of them. Just the truly, truly excellent people. I think what's getting overlooked a little bit in that is they're both still really good football players as well. If Devin McCourty retires, that's a huge blow to their defense. But he's maybe lost a half a step, a quarter of a step, but he's still a darn good safety. He still runs really well for 35 years old, made a couple of huge plays yesterday. And Slater's still one of the best special teams players in the league. You lose those two players, that's two more voids on a flawed roster that you have to fill. So they leave. It certainly looks like both are walking away. Patriots are a lot worse for it.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. What do you think happens with the coaching staff? You made it clear that Matthew Patricia should be in a different role next year. What do you think we see? Does Joe Judge move to take over special teams? What will happen?
I think you promote Joe Judge, Cam Acord, and Matt Patricia to quad head coaches with Belichick.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that makes about as much sense as making Matt Patricia the offensive coordinator this year. And then we saw how that worked out. They got to reshuffle. Kraft and Belichick, Jonathan Kraft, Robert Kraft, Belichick, the brain trust of the organization. We'll talk if they didn't do it already today. And it'll be made very clear to Bill, if he doesn't know it already, and I think he does, that this can't go on for another year. They wasted essentially not a season of the franchise trying to just jumpstart an offense where the person in charge of it was incompetent, but they've wasted one of the most valuable things in sports, which is a young quarterback on his rookie contract who has had some success. And you know, Mac Jones, all the questions we have about him right now, he threw 22 touchdown passes last year. He looked like a really, if not a superstar quarterback, someone who you might be able to win some important things with. And now you just don't know what he is because of who's in charge of coaching in this year. So the first step is for Bill to reshuffle some roles on that coaching staff and get people into jobs that they're capable of handling.
Yeah, well, how much damage do you think, permanent damage, they did to Jones and his psyche this year by not putting him in a good position?
I think they made him an absolute McEnroe level lunatic. That's what it looks like to me. He had that in him before, probably. I mean, you heard about his youth tennis days where he had a bit of a temper, but I think he's going to recover from this. It's Tom Curran for NBC Sports Boston, actually, who for the season, or pretty early in the season, I remember him saying that Mac's biggest leap forward this year was going to come in terms of his patience and his discipline and things like that rather than on the field. His point being that he was going to have to overcome the person coaching him. And that's exactly what happened. And I don't think this will break him. I think he's mentally tough. He's competitive as hell. And I think he can get back to being on the trajectory that he was last year. But this wasn't just stagnation. This was a guy taking a huge step backwards and really being let down by the people are supposed to be able to enhance his ability. I think it'll be okay, but there's certainly a question about that.
You mentioned DeMar Hamlin and that situation, and you wrote about the stellar work that the broadcast crews did on that Monday night game, really in a situation a few broadcasters have been in before, and they handled it with such a grace and maturity and I would say dignity, and didn't do the thing that could have run it aground, and that was venture into speculation.
Imagine if it had been Nance and Romo.
No.
That happened. Nance would have been great. You know, probably a little bit, insincere is not the right word, but just he's solemn for a lot of things. So it probably wouldn't have seemed as serious as Joe, when Joe Buck, who's normally a pretty gregarious broadcaster, when you could tell that he was really affected, that had more of an impact, I think, than it would probably if it was Nance. But Romo's just word salad, doesn't complete sentences, all over the place, as we saw yesterday. And in those situations, especially on what happened on Monday night, silence is golden. Let the moment stand for itself. And he's incapable of doing that. I thought the ESPN broadcasters the night that happened did a really good job. And even better on Sports Center when Scott Van Pelt, Ron Clark were on, because Ron Clark's one of the few people who can actually kind of relate to what Hamlin was going through. His teammates thought he was dying on the field when he was playing in playing in Denver high altitude, and they didn't realize he had a sickle cell trait and had to be rushed to the hospital. So he's a guy who's been through some things himself and played the same position, and is just incredibly thoughtful and well-spoken, and was the perfect guy to have on with Van Pelt that night.
Yeah, and Van Pelt is just so good. You forget, because I don't watch a lot of SportsCenter, and I don't hear him on the radio like I used to, but he's just the consummate pro.
He is, and I was texting with him a little bit the day after, because I told him I had written about it. And, I've dealt with him a lot over my 12, 13 years of covering media. And he's the same guy off the air as he is on, pretty thoughtful, self-deprecating, all those things. And he said the one thing that kind of disappointed him about all of it was everybody was saying how human he and Clark were showing true emotions. And he was like, I really wish that didn't have to be something that jumped out, that stood out about people. I wish it could be that way all the time. And I kind of felt that way about Lisa Salters that night, too. She gets hooked up a little bit. She's a really accomplished reporter beyond being a sideline reporter. E60, all of those things, investigative chops. She was getting choked up. I think that's good. I don't think you need to be kind of rigid and not show emotion when you're dealing with something in real time that seems like it is heading toward tragedy. And I think it benefited the broadcast that they really came across as real, genuine, thoughtful, concerned people. And Van Pelt's point was, I hope we're always like that.
That's a great point indeed. On that sports media beat, you wrote just earlier this afternoon about Tony Maserati. He's been off the air in Boston, some health issues for him. And I was a bit surprised to hear him say that not only will he not be on the Nesson Red Sox broadcast, but they didn't even ask.
Yeah, that tells me they got somebody else cooking. I know Chris Cotillo, a real good reporter, Mass Live, mentioned today that Uke's probably going to be the primary broadcaster. I've kind of reported that before, if he wanted to do it. Reported Millar would be back, that they want Will Middlebrooks in the mix. The two wild cards here are Brock Holt, who they've coveted forever, who officially retired this offseason and did some little bit of work with Nesson at the end of the season. He has to kind of decide whether he wants to do this or whether he wants to be involved in coaching or something, taking that tack. But Nesson covets him big time. And so I think there's a real good chance that he's in there. And I think Lou Maloney's going to get some, too. He's doing some radio for WEI after he got let go from the Afternoon Drive show. But a real possibility there that he ends up being in the booth for maybe a significant amount of games for Nesson as well.
Now, your colleague Dan Shaughnessy seemed to suggest the other day that a huge factor in the Red Sox signing Rafael Devers to this 11-year deal was the reaction that John Henry got at Fenway Park for the Bruins game last week.
It was brewing long before that. It's a pretty cool narrative. I think Dan debunked it actually at one point too, but it didn't really work that way, where he got yelled at by a couple of guys in Bruins hats, and all of a sudden he's signed Devers. I can't take this anymore. But it was something. What we don't know was whether a directive came down at some point from ownership to Heimblum to say, you know what, let's get this done with this guy because we don't have a lot of star power here and we're getting beaten up for some of the moves over the last couple of years. And you have our permission to go out and spend this money, what it takes to keep him. But it certainly wasn't related to, you know, the noise that fans made at the Winter Classic in his direction.
Well, it's good to have Devers back. Great to have him around for likely the rest of his career, but still some missing pieces there. Are they better off, do you think, leaving Trevor Story at second base and grabbing somebody like maybe a Jose Iglesias to play short?
Yeah, Story is a real good second baseman. He's throwing changeups to first base right now. He didn't have the arm for shortstop, whether because of a ligament thing or whatever it is. I know there was concern he might need elbow surgery at some point when he was last year in Colorado, but he just doesn't really have the arm for it. He's good range, good hands, all those things, but I'm not sure that's the best route to take with him, even though clearly they signed him for leverage against Bogarts and probably gave him some indication he could move to short if Xander left. But yeah, I don't know. Jose Iglesias doesn't excite me. He's all flash and tends to, as we saw in the 13 playoffs when he was with the Tigers, tend to make errors at the worst time, careless errors. He's fun to watch, but he's not a particularly good ball player. I don't think he makes them much better.
What do you do in the rotation? Are they content with what they've got now, which is, well, a lot of question marks?
How are we looking with a Pedro Martinez comeback? Because they could clone like 2000 Pedro or something like that. I'd feel pretty good about him. But
hey, I'd bring in 63-year-old Jamie Moyer. He's got some innings left in him.
I don't know. He might throw too hard for what Heim's looking for. But the ceiling is pretty high, right? I mean, Paxton's been a very good pitcher at least through 2019 before injuries caught up to him. Sale looked good last year before he got hurt. I thought he looked like Chris Sale. So there are reasons to be encouraged about that if he can just not fall off bikes and hit TVs and things like that. And there's no sure things in there, but there's certainly some possibility. And I kind of wish they'd kept Eovaldi. I liked him quite a bit, but I guess just wasn't in the cards.
I'd be happy if they signed Michael Wacha and brought him back for another year.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I don't know why they don't. Seems like there's no interest with him at all. If they thought it was kind of a batted ball fluke, or I don't know what it would be, but they were gung ho when they signed him, and he gave them a great year. And now they don't like him. Kind of weird.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Well, Chad, appreciate it as always. Great to catch up with you, and we'll do it again before too long.
I'm going to talk the next 2 hours straight like Tony Romo. You can't stop me.
Well, I can turn this down, and which I bet Jim Nantz wishes he could do at times.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You're right.
All right, hey, save some for Javier and the boys.
I will, as always.
All right, thanks, Chad.
Take care.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown.